You should also keep in mind that Tuesday night, at the weekly prayer and Bible study, they'll be considering the fact that thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I have a feeling, I don't know if I'm right or wrong, I have a feeling your brother Herbert might be opening up that one. I don't know, it's about time he was. He'd been sitting listening for quite a time. On Tuesday night. See, we've been going through, we suggested taking up the Ten Commandments. So that's the one we've reached for Tuesday night. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God. We usually get Herbert with the difficult one. Then I should also draw your attention to this, that on the 8th of January, which is a Thursday night, we'll have a missionary meeting here. One missionary by the name of Cotton, strange name for a man, isn't it, Cotton? And he's been serving the Lord in Argentina, and he'll be here. Some of you remember him before. Very intelligent fellow. So the 8th of January, missionary meeting. Keep that in mind and mark it down. And then also, about that time, as you look the calendar out there, the brethren will have to arrange, always in January, we've got to have a report night. That's an essential thing. From many angles, it's essential, and each one should try their best to be at a meeting when it's a report meeting. It's no use coming asking questions afterwards that could be answered if you were there to hear the report. People have a right to know how their money's used, how it's spent, where it goes, etc., etc., what it costs to operate the building. You know that we don't spend time putting out plastic bags or passing the plates in front of people's nose at all the services, and yet we operate. And we pay our way. So there will be a report meeting, which is always held early in January. Now, Brother Herbert, along with Brother Willie Smith, usually arranges that night when they get their books all done up and everything ready to give a report. So keep those things in mind, will you? May I ask you to open your Bibles now at the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. This is one passage in the scriptures I usually turn to when it comes near the end of the year or the beginning of the year. I like to read and reread the opening chapters of Joshua for my own personal benefit. What I feel is a help to me, I trust will be a help to others. Book of Joshua. I point out what others have pointed out before, that the way that this book starts, where it says now, after the death of Moses, shows that it's not introducing something new, it's a continuation of what has been written beforehand. In the book of Exodus, you have a people who are redeemed. And throughout Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you're reading about these people as they traveled through the wilderness for 40 years. Now, here is the extension of that record when you come to the book of Joshua. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host. Command the people, saying, Prepare ye vigils, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to half the tribe of Manasseh speak Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Till the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he have given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us, we will do. Whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doeth rebel against thy commandments, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest them, he shall not be put to death, only be strong. He shall be put to death, only be strong and of a good courage. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of that chapter. When it comes to this time, as a year is just fading out, and another year is about to dawn upon us, we do well to sit down and take stock. You've got to do that in business. Why not do it with regards to our lives? Come to a proper assessment of things. Where have we failed in the past 12 months? Now, don't say you didn't, because we've all got to hang our heads in shame. You set a certain standard for yourself at the beginning of the year, and when it comes about the end of the year, you look back and say, oh dear, I failed to accomplish the things that I set my sights on. I haven't accomplished half what I wanted to do. And you think of the many points and places where you have failed. Now, you don't sit down and say, oh, I'm a complete failure then, I'll just give up. You don't do that. Of course not. You set your sights again on the coming year. You say, now I'm going to do better this next year. But then let us stop and ask the very question that our brother Smith raised last night when we were together for a time of fellowship. What does the Lord require of thee? And if we sit down and ask ourselves these questions, and we begin to think of it, I wonder what we'll set our sights on now in the coming year. It's like a fresh start. And right here at the book of Joshua, these people were going to make a fresh start. For 40 years they've been going around in circles. They had failed to go into the place of rest. They had failed to go in and take possession of that which God promised them. And all those years had been wasted. I pointed this out to you on previous occasions, that Joshua was not a young man at this time. I tried to reckon it out, and Joshua, I believe, was born just about the time that Moses fled from Egypt. So that Joshua came up through the hard times, the time when Moses was away in the backside of the desert, When Moses came back from there, he was a man of about 80 years of age. Joshua was about 40, half the age of Moses. But during the first part of his life, he knew what it was to have it hard, perhaps working in the brick kiln. He knew what it meant to have the taskmaster's lash upon him. Now, relatively, he's looked upon as being a young man, when compared, of course, with Moses. He's introduced to us in Exodus 17 as a trained soldier, at the time when Moses said, "You choose out the men." Joshua to choose out men to go out and face the enemy. And you remember who the enemy was. And because that Amalek came and fought with Israel, it was necessary for Moses to go up on the mountaintop and engage in prayer. It was necessary for Joshua to go out in the valley and fight. Fighting against that which spoke typically of the flesh. Young man who knew how to control the things pertaining to the flesh. But then when you come to Exodus chapter 32, you find that Joshua there was a trusted servant. Moses takes him with him. When you come to Numbers chapter 14, he's a truthful saint. He was one of those who came back and gave a true report. However, when we come here to the book of Joshua, the man on whom he leaned has been taken from him after the death of Moses. We're introduced to the law of succession. Now, I think we've got to face this over and over again. Now, in a few weeks' time, the man and his wife who have been occupying the White House for the last 4 years will move out. I don't know whether they'll shed any tears when they go out or whether they'll be very happy. If it was me, I'd be happy to get out. Whether they'll shed tears at having to leave the White House or not, I don't know. But they'll move out, and no longer will you be under the Carter administration. You'll be under the Reagan administration, a new takeover. But here in the book of Joshua, Moses has died. And God has buried him. But you don't all sit down and say, "It's finished now, what can we do? Let's just die in the wilderness." Not that. Here is the law of succession. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua. The same God who had given directions to Moses and said, "I am that I am, and I'm sending you into Egypt, and you'll deliver my people." That same God speaks now to Joshua. Circumstances may be different. 40 years may have passed. Joshua has added another 40 years to his life. God now speaks to Joshua. He'd only been Moses' servant, but now he's going to take command. You remember, this is a principle in the New Testament as well. Paul says to Timothy, "Now the things, Timothy, that you have learned from me, I want you to teach these things to other faithful men, who in turn will teach others also the law of succession from one generation to another. And as one grows old and passes off the scene, another takes over." You and I should be happy about that. It's the same in the military, isn't it? Comes a certain time when they, I don't know whether they say it to them or not, but they let them know it's time for you to retire. And so they help them to retire and they give them a pension. The reason for getting these men to retire is that others will be able to come in and take over. In certain jobs today, a man is asked to retire at a certain age. Some men resent it. So I'm quite... No, he resents it because he doesn't want to be displaced. Doesn't want to give place to others. And sometimes you find the same in the spiritual sense. But here you see Moses has passed away. His eye wasn't dim. His strength was not abated. But God says, "It's time, Moses." God took Moses away. Buried him. But he's got a Joshua ready. And so Joshua steps in. Now the death had to be acknowledged. It was a great crisis that Moses had died. You know, it may be, who knows, 1981 might be a time of great crisis for all of us. You know, I think I said about a year ago to some of you, I believe that the decade of the 80s is going to be an important time. The first year has gone already, ready to move into the second year. Things are taking very rapid pace nowadays. Who knows what it might be? Some of you are not old enough to know, but at the time when they dropped the first atomic bomb, it not only shook Hiroshima and destroyed it shook the world. Men's thoughts were shaken. People began to say, what is the world coming to? They've now got one bomb that can destroy a whole city. A few months after that, a fellow told me, he said, that it's out of date already. They've got them now, it would only take three to destroy the whole of Great Britain. Dropped in strategic point. But now they've got things way far and beyond that. Man has within his grasp now the potential to destroy the human race. Don't you see why it's so important that Matthew 24 says, except these days were shortened. Except these days were shortened, there will be no flesh left on the earth. It's only the restraining hand of God that preserves. That's all. Who knows? We may be facing some crisis. But even in the midst of the crisis, God can speak to Joshua. Now it's good that a man like Joshua can now lend his ear and listen to what God has to say. Up to that time, God spoke to Moses, and Moses conveyed the message to the others, including Joshua. But now, Joshua's got to lend his ear, and he's got to listen to what God has to say. May I suggest to all our hearts tonight, we should all come to that point in life that Joshua had to come to at that time. We should be willing to lend our ear to what the Lord has to say. We should be willing to listen to the word of the Lord. It was a duty to be accepted. The Lord spake unto Joshua. Then he gave directions, and these directions had to be followed. He said, Joshua, I want you to arise and go over this Jordan. Now he might have turned around and said, Lord, you're asking me to do an impossible task. Aren't you aware that Moses has failed to do this for 40 years? And Moses was a greater man than me. Moses failed. Now you're asking me to do it. How can I lead all these people over this Jordan if Moses couldn't do it? Now that might have sounded a logical excuse, or it might have sounded reasonable. And it may be that I'm speaking to someone tonight and you're saying, well, if so-and-so couldn't do it, how do you expect me to do it? May I suggest this? If we'll give our ear to what God has to say, we may be able to do things that other people have failed to do. Maybe God is speaking to you to get on with some particular kind of work, but make sure it's the Lord who's giving the advice. So he speaks to Joshua, the law of succession, Joshua's got to take over. But now that leads us to the second thought again, is the law of appropriation. Go in and take possession of the land that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now if God says, there's the land, go in and possess it. It takes faith to go in and take possession of the land, but the feet must answer to the faith. It's no use standing on the east side of the River Jordan and gathering the people around and saying, look at that beautiful land over there. Look at the land. Look at the hills. Look at the valley. Look at the stream. A land flowing with milk and honey. Don't you know God has given that to us? Might make a good sermon, but it wouldn't satisfy them. The feet have got to answer to the face. They've got to go over and take possession of the thing that God has given them. You know, when you come over to the epistle to the Ephesians, it's a wonderful thing to read down through chapter 1 and to learn that God has blessed us with every kind of spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenly. Wonderful. You can sing about it. You can talk about it. But then we stop and we say to ourselves, have we gone in to take possession of these blessings? Do we live in the good of them? Or is it only a theory with us? By faith you lay hold upon these things. And so the feet must answer to the faith. Go over. Now, I want you, if you have your Bibles open, to look at something here. This may encourage our younger folks tonight. Look at verse 6 for a moment. Be strong and of a good courage. Look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Look at verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Look at verse 18. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Four times over in this opening chapter, we have the exhortation to be strong and of a good courage. Is it possible, may I suggest, that at that time that Joshua back here in the Old Testament was something like Timothy in the New Testament, a bit timid, just a little afraid to put his right foot forward, just feeling a little weak in himself, not sufficient courage to tackle the job? But God said, I'm with you. As I have been with the others, I'm going to be with you. I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Therefore, because I'm with you, be strong and of a good courage. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be built up like men, to take our stand like a man. Be strong and of a good courage. You know, I remember way back during World War I, we had about 1,000 soldiers billeted in a little town. And as children, we loved to watch them. I remember one day, a crowd of them were taken down to the creek there. They're the place where these officers or sergeants, or even if they only had one stripe on, they thought themselves better than the others. And they were telling those men they were to go into the creek. It was a cold day. I wouldn't have gone in myself. It was cold enough and they'd gone in with their clothes on. Never mind. They'd stripped and going in there. There was one fellow there and I noticed he was a bit weak. You could tell that. He was a mama's boy. And he had been conscripted into the army. But he went down and was standing, just put his toes in. The sergeant ordered him to get in. Jump in. And they wouldn't do it. It was a shame that day when he ordered some of the other fellows, and they thought it was a great joke to come out and get that boy and throw him in. Ah, he cried all right, shivering. I thought, what a shame to treat him like that. Well, I wonder what they were doing it for. That was nothing to be thrown in there, but what he would have to face in a week or two when he went over to the Flanders field to fight. I think they're trying to make him strong. To be strong, very courageous. Some of you fellows know The first 3 months and the fourth is what they put you through. What is it? They break your spirit. So they do break your spirit. In order to make you submit to rule and order. Ah, but it's a different thing from the Word of God. Well, it may have the same objective. Be strong and very courageous. Why? Because you've got an enemy to see. You're not simply going in to sit down in the land. When you go in there, there will be a campaign. There will be a crusade to take possession of the thing that God has given you. But remember, you've got to face the foe. It's not going to be easy. If we're going to make any advance in the Christian life, not going to be easy. There'll be a battle to be fought. The enemy to be faced. We'll require to be strong and be courageous. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be weary. Come to the New Testament. Peter says, now as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Paul says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. If we're going to be strong for the Lord, he tells us here how it's to be done. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. It's the law of meditation. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. See, first of all, if it's in your mouth, you'll be able to speak about it. If you meditate therein, you're studying it. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written, you'll submit to it. If the world is pushing the Bible aside, if they don't want it in the school, they don't want it in business, they don't want it now up in Washington, you and I should want it. Not only in the home, we should want the word in our life. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, with to meditate therein, and be able to speak of it with others. There's nothing better than a group of Christians speaking to one another about the things of the Lord. Oh, there's a lot of other things we could speak about. They might be interesting. It might be helpful to speak of other things. But there's nothing better than speaking to one another about the things of the Lord. It edifies. It helps. It encourages. Anything you learn from the Scriptures, you remember, it pays you to pass it on to someone else. Don't keep it to yourself. Talk to someone else about it. Tell them what you've learned and say, now, did you ever see this? Talk to them about what you learned. And before you leave them, you'll find they will have added something to it. They'll tell you something else. So that what you give to them, you get interest on it, and they'll tell you. And so it is you build up one another. Speak of it. Meditate therein day and night. Study it. The fellow today who's out in full-time service for the Lord, a number of years ago, I happened to be speaking just at the beginning of the year in the place where he used to be in fellowship, and I issued a challenge to them about reading the Scriptures. And 3 months later, he told someone he accepted that challenge quietly in his own heart that night, and he started reading the Scriptures half an hour a day, half an hour. It's not too much out of 24 hours, is it? Half an hour a day he started to read and study the Word of God. Today he's serving the Lord. That's where he gets started. Reading the Word and meditating on what's in this book. But you see, not only have we to speak of it and study it, but we've got to submit to it, and this is an important thing, that we may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now, the only Bible study that is of any real value at all is that Bible study which makes a personal application of the truth. You see, it's possible to search the scriptures and study the scriptures in order to speak in your Sunday school class. That's good. Or it's possible to read and search in order to have a sermon to preach to the congregation. That's good. But the finest Bible study and the only Bible study that is of any genuine value is this Bible study where the reader applies it first to number one. So that in reading the scriptures, whether you're a Sunday school teacher or a preacher or anything else, the best Bible study is when I study it to say, what is the Lord saying to me? Then after I learn what he's saying to me, I'm able to speak to others out of experience. So therefore we meditate in order to observe according to all that is written therein. Now say, this is for me. This is what the Lord wants me to. What does the Lord require of you? And I learn it from the scriptures. What is the will of God? And so therefore I've got to observe what is here. You see, that takes you to the law of submission. Have not I commanded thee, be strong of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And we've got to submit to what the scriptures have to say. Now this is a particular line that could be developed. Now let me say this very kindly. If I'm only going to submit to what suits me, then I'm not submitting at all. If I'm only going to do the things that suit me, then that's not submission. Suppose now that a man is in charge of so many workers, and he allocates the work to the different workers. He tells them what he wants them to do, and he'll be back in so many hours. And when he comes back, he discovers that all the workers except one have done the job that he allocated to them. But he finds this one, and he has only done half the job. And he says, now, why haven't you done? Because I didn't like it. I liked this bit here, but I'm not going to do that. Well, what good is that man to his boss? If he had said to begin with, well, I'm not accepting that, that's all right. His boss man would know that he wasn't a suitable worker. But here you and I, we profess to know the Lord and we read the Word, and the Word says a certain thing. I tempt some of them and say, Lord, I accept half of it, but I don't accept the other half. And we're living in days when people are taking the Word of God and they're simply cutting it up, as it were, and taking what suits them and leaving out what doesn't suit them. Now, when the Scripture says a certain thing, God means what he says. And I've got to submit to what the Scriptures teach, or else I come in under this other thing here, I'm in rebellion. God has a way of dealing with rebellious children. But now, in order to go in and possess the land, there's the law of preparation. Says Joshua, I want you to pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your vigils. They'll need food. They'll need food. You better get food. For within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Now, in order to go in to possess the land, there must be preparation. And so they're to prepare themselves for going in. Plain words is to tell them, now you're going in. 40 years you've been wandering around. Now you're going over this Jordan. You're going in to possess the land. Definitely. Got to be some preparation. Then there's to be the passing over. Now in passing over, there must be the entry into that river. The passing through. The passing out. Now I suggest this to you, that you take time to study this some other time. You'll discover this from later chapters in Joshua. That before they went into the river, there was something else went in before them. Some of you know what it was. The priest took the ark on the shoulder. They went down and the people would be standing back watching. there's the priest going forward carrying the ark. Now remember, that ark with its mercy seat was typical of Christ. And that which spoke of Christ they carried down, and the moment that they touched the river's edge, the waters went past. That which spoke of Christ was taken down right into the midst of the river. It was there first. Then they all passed through. And after they passed through, the priest came out bearing the ark. Does it mean anything to you? Don't you see, the Lord is not asking us to go by any pathway that he hasn't trod before us. He has passed the way before us, tempted in all points such as we are, sin apart. He has gone this way. He has walked this path. In fact, he has gone right down into death. He has died, been buried, and been raised again. And if Jordan should speak of death, if the waters speak of death, then we're going through with him. He's gone in before us. We go through, come out. We're buried with him and raised with him. That's what was indicated last Sunday night in baptism. Because you see, this nation was brought out of the land of Egypt and they came through the Red Sea. They were redeemed. Now they're being identified here with that which spoke of Christ. And by faith they're going down in, passing through and coming out into the new land, the land of promise. They passed through. But now they're going in to take possession of the promised land. Verse 16 says, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do. It's the law of obligation. If they don't do it, then they're in rebellion. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Let us just pause on that verse for a moment or two. Do you think, as we finish one year, look forward to another, we'll be willing to go down on our knees and open our Bible at that verse and lay our finger on it as before the Lord and say, Lord, all that thou commandest me, I will do. And whithersoever thou sendest me, I will go. A young woman on one occasion wanted to go into service for God. Spoke to a missionary. The missionary said to her, why don't you lay the matter before the Lord? Tell the Lord you're willing to be missionary. Ask the Lord to open up the way for you. The Lord will open the door for you, I'm sure. She says, I don't want to do that. Why? Because if I leave the decision with the Lord, they might send me to China. I don't want to go to China. I don't want to go to China. You see, if I'm going to serve the Lord and I'm going to give my life to him, I should be able to say, all that thou commandest me, I will do. And whithersoever thou sendest me, I will go. And if I'm not willing to do that, then I'm not accepting my obligation. You see, here is the law of obligation. Now then, if I come to that point, according as we have hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. The people are saying this to Joshua. They're saying, now we've been under the command of Moses, we've listened to him because the Lord spoke to him. And if the Lord's now speaking to you, Joshua, we are willing to accept the word of the Lord through you, and whatever the command is, we will obey it, and wherever you should send us, we'll go. See, they were willing to accept the leadership of Joshua, the man of God. Ah, but the solemn issue comes in now, in the closing verse. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy command, will not hearken unto thy word, in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Aren't you glad you're living in the age of grace? How many of us would be here tonight if that principle was put into operation now? How many of us would be here? Yet we can take it in all its severity and apply it to our hearts and say, well, all right, Lord, I don't want to be in rebellion. I want to submit. I'm obligated. Whatsoever you command, Lord, I'm willing to do. Save me, Lord, from being in rebellion. There's a lot of rebellious Christians abroad these days. They'll stomp their foot and rage because it's something's ministered that they don't like. I don't accept that. Don't believe that. But if it's the Word of God, it's the Word of God. Now, if in doubt about anything, then take the safe course. If in doubt, take the safe course. Take that the other way around, and this perhaps will come home to some of our young folks here tonight. Young folks are great for asking the question, is there anything wrong with doing such and such a thing? Is there anything wrong about it? Now look, if there's a doubt about it, it's dirty. Don't mess up your hands. If there's any doubt about it, then don't. So instead of coming asking, is there anything wrong with doing such and such a thing? The moment you have a doubt in your mind about it, leave it. Turn from it. There's something wrong with it. There's a doubt about it. Stay free. If there's a direct command given in the Word of God, don't let us be like the children of Israel who rebelled against the commands of God. Whatever the New Testament teaches us for Christians, let us submit to it. Whatever the Lord has said, let us submit. And to do that, it says, only be strong and of a good courage. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Then remember, he says to Peter, Peter, when you're converted, I want you to do something. I want you to strengthen your brethren. Strengthen. Then you come over to the book of the Revelation. Strengthen the things that remain. Some people need to be strengthened. They need to be encouraged. So therefore, let's see to it that we encourage one another. That we strengthen one another. Let each of us take this exhortation to heart for what lies before us until the Lord comes. Let us be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Shall we bow in prayer? We'll ask our brother Lacey Buffalo to dismiss us with a word of prayer.